Welcome to Fat Mascara.
Who are you?
I'm Jessica.
I'm Jen. And you know what? I just raised my arms to do a power pose and woo, I'm sweating. I just noticed that.
I'm in like a power crab. Like,
so you don't have to raise your arms all the way?
No, but this dress is a little tight, so I don't want to.
This is a great start to our episode. Hi, everybody. Happy summer.
Happy summer. We're getting in the thick of it.
Yeah, we just got back from July 4th. I'm sure you did too.
I'm not a huge fan of the summer.
Of the summer? I thought you were saying July 4th. I was like, no. How unpatriotic of you, Jessica Matlin.
I just want to know and like hit us up. Are there other people out there who don't love summer? Oh my God, Tiff!
Intern Tiff is
raising
her hands.
I'm surprised because you're like slim and cute and like always wearing like cute like shorts and shit. When I think of the summer, I just feel like I'm spilling out of everything and I just want to cover up.
I just want a turtleneck sweater and black leather pants. So
I just like a chill in the air. I feel like I don't do well sweaty.
Hi, we're just going to complain to you about how hot we are. That's this
I
week's
think
episode.
People want to know. They want to. We never
don't
have
worry.
A summer chat.
Don't worry. We have beauty to go along with that.
Okay. What do you have?
Okay, bespoke face creams. I know you have an experience to share with everyone. Then we're going to talk about, there's some new marketing guidelines in the EU about marketing things that are free of certain ingredients. And I have thoughts, and I think this might affect US customers someday. So I want to talk about that.
Okay.
And our last topic before we get into our amazing interview, body foundation. Speaking of being hot, do you need body foundation?
All that skin showing in the summer, is this something you guys are contemplating?
You know,
I don't
Kim
know.
Just launched one, Miss Kim Kardashian, and we
I don't
should
know
just,
her.
Let's chat. I don't know who you're talking about. Let's chat about it.
Okay, and then after all that, we have a guest who I am so thrilled is here. This is, I mean, we're talking about a real beauty star, a real beauty maverick, Chaz Dean, the founder of WEN Hair Care.
And it is an excellent interview, and he is a doll, even though it was like 98 degrees
in our
studio.
I know, it was very hot in our studio.
Sorry, Chaz.
He spills the tea.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode of Fat Mascara is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small. Therapy is a safe space to get those things off your chest. Plus, it can help you develop coping skills that make your life easier. I will give you an example. If you've listened to this podcast for a while, you've probably heard me say it to Jess or to a guest, reframe. Well, I learned that technique from a therapist. Here's an example. Now that I'm a freelance writer and podcaster, I get lonely working from home, and I feel like I'm never going to get to collaborate on projects again. And that's the truth. Reframe, I get to choose which projects I work on, so I'm in control of what I work on, and if I want to collaborate more with others, I don't have to ask anyone's permission. I can just do it. See what I did there? That's reframing. If you've been thinking about starting therapy or are looking for someone to help you process things and give you coping skills, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/mascara today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/mascara. Again, betterhelp.com/mascara. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
So, Jen.
Oh, hey there, Jess.
This weekend, when I was out in Bridgehampton.
Oh, you go to the Hamptons now?
Did you take the subway?
Hell no. I could barely stand it from 57th to 34th. I went out there and I saw Georgia Louise, the famous facialist, at Knockout Beauty. Now, Knockout Beauty, I'd never been to Knockout Beauty. There's one in L.A., but there's one in Bridgehampton.
But none in New York City.
None in New York City.
Just the like beachy coastal communities.
Yes. Okay. You know,
fabulous.
Who knows if where Knockout will expand, because it's a really cool store. It's really cool. It's a very curated, and I know I hate that word, but it's like a great, it actually means something here, a curated assortment of the very best in beauty. They have like everything from like R&Co to like Even Swiss to Jal, like S-J-A-L, like really cool niche brands. But Georgia had told me she was going to be there because she's doing like a pop-up facial thing.
Well, you had one with actually her, not just her products.
Well, I had one with her at her studio here in like her atelier in New York. So I know that she's got magic hands. I really like her. And then she said, come, you know, visit me in the spot out in Bridgehampton. And I got to show you this new machine. She showed me a video of it before and I still like didn't understand it because it was looked so advanced. She's like, you got to see the machine. I'm like, I got to see the machine because I don't understand what that video was. I go, I'll put a photo of it on our Instagram. It's this very high-tech looking thing that looks like it's out of like a science lab. And she said, do you have time to get your skin done? I'm like, kind of want to beat the traffic. She was like, it takes 20 minutes. It was so cool. I sat in a chair and then I got my skin tested like with a little like a little meter, like someone was pressing something against my face. And that the data that goes into that computer communicates with this big machine. It's like some German
machine. Does this thing
machine.
Have a name?
Well, the little meter, it's a Skid-O-Matic.
Okay. Oh, like to test hydration levels and things? Yeah. Okay.
But the big machine, I don't know what it's called. It's like the Georgia Louise machine. And all I know is it's from Germany. So she does my sebum. She does my pH, she does my hydration, which P.S. she also said I was the most hydrated person that they'd done this on. We got to find, I'm drinking a lot of water. I don't know if water really helps. Let's talk about that later. But I go and then we watch this machine. It communicates with the machine. It says like connecting, analyzing. Hello, Miss Matlin. It decides which consistency of cream I need. And then it moved along once the little pot came out and moved along and little actives were squirting, like little tubes were squirting the actives in there.
In levels based on what your skin tested.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then Kylie, the owner of Knockout Beauty, she was there, which was a real treat. She took it out, she pre-mixed it, and then she put it in this thing which looked like a blender. And it blended the cream, and I was watching it.
Was Jeff with you for all of this?
Oh, yeah. He was so sweet.
Was he loving it?
He was taking videos for our Instagram.
Amazing. Saying, because he's a cosmetic chemist, it's like, it's putting him out of business.
Well, I don't know about that. We could talk about that in a second. But he thought it was interesting. We were both, like, looking at it. It was pretty cool. It was very entertaining. And then she gives me the cream, and I have to say, like, full disclosure, like most of the things we talk about here, it was, you know, gifted to us as an editor. This cream will set you back about $350, though this is not cheap. But I have to say, you know, the cream's really nice, and I like that it's tailored to my skin.
Yeah.
It is very expensive.
And you didn't have to fill out a questionnaire, because you know when they ask you questions, I'm always like, I don't know. Do I want to deal with my redness or my hydration? Like, it just knew for you.
It knew for me. And it really felt like it was a little bit more about like the, you know, it tested the hydration and the sebum and the pH. It didn't get into your pigmentation or under eye circles. Like, there were specifics that the machine didn't test for, but the actives that are put in it, like based on your age and other things.
Okay. So it's not just the machine. It's also a little bit of
of a questionnaire too. I think, you know, not everyone has $350 to spend on a cream. But what I was interested is in that this kind of like event moment for skincare and like the entertainment value.
Yeah. Like when Bite Beauty would mix up your own lipstick, or back in the day prescriptives, you could mix your own powder, but that takes like 2 seconds and you also feel like all you're doing is color. This is like more than color.
I remember when we went to the Kiehl's event a few years ago in DC.
Yes, yes.
It was like custom serums.
Bespoke serums. Yeah. Sort of semi-bespoke.
Yeah. Like
this feels
truly bespoke. And the way that that like dark Barbara Sturm blood cream, in case you guys don't know, like all the big fancy people go out to Germany, get their blood taken and spun into that cream by Dr. Sturm.
Yeah.
This is like for the regular people. It's not regular,
Yeah. Maybe like in Bridgehampton, it's regular.
It's like the, but... it's the bridge line of bespoke. Exactly. Bespoke bridge.
So, you know, I think it's pretty cool.
You think we'll see more of these? Like, because who can afford to put this machine in their store?
That's the thing. I don't know when it's going to hit like a mass level or even like a Nordstrom, you know, kind of level. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, a really like elite service. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I do think that, you know, so much right now, whether if it's about fashion or beauty, is about customization. Does everyone need this cream? Does everyone need a custom cream? I think your face isn't going to shrivel up if you don't have it. But I do think that we're going to see a little bit more of this.
And if you need a refill, I imagine they just keep your...
Oh, yeah. They gave me like an ID card that I can bring
so
back
you bring,
to the
go
shop.
Back and then...
And it goes beep. And then like they it whips
whip
it up
another
again.
Batch. Yeah. Did you name your cream?
I didn't. I didn't know if that was an option. It just said my name on it. Like
my first thought is like, oh, maybe you give it a name.
Oh, that would be cool. Actually, I might pass that along to Georgia Louise. I think that'd be fun.
You know, like a cute little label or something goes on it. I don't know.
Anyway, it was cool. That was my adventure in beauty this weekend.
It was an excellent adventure. Thanks for sharing.
Of course.
So let's talk about what's going on in Europe after the Hamptons. Let's talk about Europe, shall we? Okay. So as you know, the European Union has all the countries together. Like the United States, they have their own governing bodies for cosmetics. True?
Mm-hmm.
True. Okay. So the EU Commission has a new guideline in place. And this is the same way that FDA has like a proposed rule. It isn't yet law, but it's sort of like all the companies are like, we got to start doing this because it may go into effect. It went into effect on July 1st. There's a couple changes to labeling and marketing guidelines in the EU, but the one that I think is really interesting, they call them annexes for something, for some reason, I don't know. But it's now the free from claims are going to be affected in the EU. So people in the EU, once this goes into true legal action, right now it's just a guideline, will not be able to say, free from formaldehyde, for example, if their product is free from formaldehyde, because they're basically making a claim when other products don't have that ingredient either. Or they're not going to be able to say free from heavy metals. When
there was never any heavy metals.
Exactly.
To begin with. Okay.
And this gets to something we've talked about a lot, which is the clean beauty discussion, mm-hmm. and that there's this fear mongering going on in marketing claims that the EU, I think, has realized by saying we're free of parabens, or by the way, a couple types of parabens are actually banned in the EU, a very small percentage of them, but there are hundreds that you can use, just so you know. I don't want to like open up the parabens, like
not the parabens,
the parabens
conversation
box again.
Go back to the Tiffany Masterson episode.
Please see Tiffany Masterson. But the reason they're doing this is because then companies will start to grab onto this one word, use it as a marketing claim, and it's sort of, rightfully so, people start to think, oh, it must be bad if this product is free of it.
Right. It's like I think of like ice cream. If it says like no meat, you know, like it never had it. So
that's very true. That's very true. The other thing
that's
I thought
such
of
a gross like thing to think
of. Well, I thought of the, remember how nail polish like 10 years ago, all of a sudden everything was 3-free because it didn't have formaldehyde, and then it was 5-free, and then it was 8-free. And I was like, at what point are we just going to be like, it's negative. It has nothing in it. It's just air.
It's just, there's a lot of, you know, I think, I want to think that a lot of the clean brands, I want to think that like they think they're doing good and like their heart is in the right place. But I think there's such an opportunistic moment right now to be like, well, we are free of, you know, like just kind of each one is one-upping each other. And also like the other thing that pisses me off is when they say like in the EU, like 5 billion ingredients are banned. And you know, like,
she's
US
being
so,
hyperbolic. It's not 5 billion, but they have more banned ingredients than we
right,
do here.
But it's like there are ingredients that are like never used. So
right. You banned asbestos in your face creams? Cool. The US does not have an official ban on asbestos. Well, actually it does. But you know what I'm saying.
Like common sense has kind of left the building a little bit, but I don't. Maybe it isn't common because the average consumer, they don't know.
And the other thing that they're talking about now is also, for example, you're not going to be able to say preservative-free or fragrance-free in the EU when you have a fragrancing ingredient, but it's just not perfume.
Or
you have a preserving ingredient. Maybe it's a specialized essential oil that has an antibacterial product, but you're not using a synthetic preserve. So you'll say preservative-free. You have to think about the class of ingredients that you're including. So they're going to make you – maybe you don't have the chemical one that you sort of want to shy away from, but you have to be careful the way you categorize the ingredients that are in your products, just to help people start to learn that that doesn't actually mean anything. Yeah.
So is the moral of the story, when we see a brand that has, you know, a 3-inch long list of all the things that they don't have, don't necessarily be overly impressed. Like, you know, they're not doing God's work.
I actually think it's kind of funny if you think about it. Back in the day, the way things were marketed is like, look at all that it can do for you.
I was just about to say, I'm like, I want to, like, what are you going to do for me?
But right now, we're having this minute, at least in the United States, where like all you're doing is like negative marketing. Like, it doesn't do this. It doesn't do this. And so what does it do? You know?
Yeah.
Like, the companies that have sort of built their products on this, it doesn't do, it doesn't have marketing and like ethos, are going to have to step it up and be like, okay, then what does it do? Because that alone is not selling it to me. Sorry.
Same. I need like some heavy lifting right now.
And I would also, I really like that they recognize it's a nuanced conversation, but that like by letting these marketing claims go on, it's created this feeling, and then we kind of get into this with Chaz a little bit about his company too, that like there's a fear mongering and people just connect the dots for themselves, even if there isn't any truth behind these things.
That's like the culture right now. Everyone is suspect. Everyone is quick to point the finger, to call out, to draw conclusions. You know,
Estee Lauder with their Instagram, like all these different things. Like they just want to show you the negative side. I'm like, can we be positive? Like, what are we doing positive?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's just my thought.
There's definitely like something rumbling in the culture that can be used for good a lot, but I think some of it is just noise.
So we'll have to see if it would be the FTC, I think, and the FDA with labeling guidelines that would get in on this in the United States and see if we might start seeing some changes to the labeling guidelines for cosmetics here. I think it might be warranted.
I think it's time. It's overdue.
It's time. Jess, I know how you love summer.
Is it September yet? No, I'm not trying to rush life.
Not at all, but you know what I got to think about right now? Have you ever used body makeup or body foundation?
I've tried.
You did? How did it go? What happened?
Okay, the body makeup that I have used that like has been tolerable, and not just intolerable, like that was like nice, is, okay, like, take a shot, everyone, the Charlotte Tilbury, like, airbrush legs.
Take a shot every time Jess says
Charlotte Tilbury, because you know I'm, like, a super fan. Not an ad, just a super fan. I liked that because it had, like, a roll-on applicator, it's really sheer. And it doesn't make a huge difference. Like, I'm not tan. I think if you're tan, it's probably gorgeous. For me, it just makes me feel like, okay, I'm not uneven, gross, pasty. And I have like,
it's like a blurring quality.
It's kind of a blurring thing. But then I've tried other products, which shall not be named. And I felt like I was wearing stage makeup.
It's foundation.
And I put it on my, because the Charlotte, you don't really have to like blend in very light. It, like, if you blend with your hands, it doesn't really pick up.
There's no line of demarcation where it isn't.
Yeah, but I tried something like on my upper arms. I get like redness on my upper arms a lot, like the backs, like the little fat part. It gets really like...
Like keratosis pilaris kind of
thing? No, it's not uneven. It's like if I get embarrassed or mad.
Oh, it's just like your flushing response is there first.
Oh, yeah. And that's, oh my God.
God, what if it's like not your cheeks, it's like the chubby part of your arm?
I'm serious. One time, I'll never forget, it was in a workplace situation. The boss came over to me and she spoke to me about something. And it wasn't like bad. It was just kind of like very intense.
Yeah.
And she walked away. And my friend Alex, if you're listening, I remember she was like, "You're so red. Your arms are so red.
Your arms.
My arms."
I've been in meetings where people, it's not even hives, but their chest starts to creep up the redness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Kim Kardashian can help these people.
Oh, you know, she really is the problem solver. She's the fixer.
No, but actually she came out with a foundation. It's funny. These products exist, but then somebody like Kim does their version and all of a sudden it's news again.
Yeah. She could be like, soap. Look into it.
Yeah. What's going on with soap?
Yeah.
So everybody got into like, oh, is it feminist or not to have body foundation? And I was just like, how is that anti-feminist to have body foundation? I don't get that
side
of the
argument.
How
is it different than face
foundation? And then I realized, okay, I guess it's because it's sort of like our faces we have for historically cosmetically used. And now this is like a new place to put makeup to cover up. But I was like, I'm sure there's some people out there that would prefer to use makeup on their body and maybe not on their face.
Yeah, completely.
Like, who are we to judge?
If you have like spider veins, if you have like a port wine stain.
Pristine face and it's perfect, good for you. But then you have like a little bit of veininess on your legs that you want to hide.
A lot, yeah.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you be able to
Why is that anti-feminist?
I think it goes back to what we're saying in the earlier segment. I think like people have like a hair trigger response to anything that could be perceived as saying you are not okay the way you are, you know?
Oh.
Like, and it's funny because we're also in like the boom of the beauty industry. It's a very there's like a dichotomy of what's happening right now. There's so many products, so many influencers, so many like things, but at the same time it's like you better love yourself the way you are. Like, you better fall in line with the mindset right now that
we, as
you know,
consumers and just as women, are like thrown these two very competing messages. You need more, buy more. We have 52 types of skincare available to you, 48 shades of foundation, and you need a couple, one for this, one for that. And then at the same time, you're perfect the way you are.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not that old, but I've never lived in a moment where it's more consumerist than it's ever been. I realize the irony, like we talk about products on this show. I'm not saying that I'm like some kind of...
Or that like we don't like, enjoy using some of these products.
I shop sometimes, but but there is this constant like feed, literally and figuratively, of new things that are like cool, will change your life, that are like disruptive, all this stuff. But it just feels so out of step with this like very kind of... These are the right ways to feel about things. It's kind of like this...
Yeah.
I don't want to say like fascist, but kind of like this is the right way to view beauty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense, but it's confusing for a regular woman.
It's confusing for me.
It's confusing for us as people who literally our job is to look at beauty products and decide what is something we need and what maybe we don't.
Yeah. Like,
don't
you even feel that like when you're writing like for your reader, like sometimes it's you have to kind of like manage the tone or the products you're endorsing and stuff in a way that maybe 5 years ago you wouldn't have. It's a little bit like the anti-aging conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. Or maybe I'm putting in a hair thing. I'm like, oh, this one smooths frizz. And then all of a sudden in the back of my mind I have, what about the people that like their frizz? Which I don't mind having frizzy hair.
It's a good thing. Yeah. But it's just interesting how these conversations are so much more complex than they were 5 years ago.
So all this is to say, will you be using body foundation?
Will you, Jen?
I honestly, when I have my legs... The reason I use it on my knees down. If I'm wearing like a shorter skirt, I'll use one of those leg products, like a Sally Hansen airbrush legs.
Oh,
I
yeah.
Love.
People love that.
Or the
Nivea. Nivea makes like a lotion that has like shimmer in it.
I like them sheer though, so they feel like body products. I've tried the MAC face and body foundation. I feel like that is too much coverage for me that I like have to put it on so carefully so that there's no like lines that I don't enjoy that as much as the sheerer products.
Do you want to know something funny about my legs?
Yeah.
Do you see this bruise? Like, that's like right there.
That's why I use it too. Shin bruises take longer to heal than anywhere else on your body, by the way.
To your point,
what is that?
This
from?
Bruise, it's across
bed,
my right
frame.
No, I had it since I was born because I was sitting Indian style in the womb and it was a dent.
What?
Isn't that so funny?
You have
so I can never get rid of it.
Permanently dented leg?
Yes. It was an absolute.
How do you know?
It was because my mom told me it was an indentation when I came out of the womb.
Let me see. I see it.
Yeah,
like,
I was sitting like Buddha style, like yogi style.
And the little cells in there just never pumped up enough collagen
to make
up for
it. No, and then I was C-section, so I came out like,
And then you were Zen. Did you literally come out of the womb like a little, like,
I think so.
Sitting like a little Buddha?
Well, like, they probably, like, I probably squeezed out at some point. I've never seen a C-section. But this was, like, black.
At birth, like, and now it's just, like,
I'm always going to have
it. Do you ever cover it with makeup?
It's too dark. I've tried.
It's who you are.
Yeah.
You're like a pro feminist.
I feel like you know so much about me, but you didn't know that.
I didn't. I feel like I knew everything about your body, your mind, and everything. Guys.
Oh, no, there's more.
Jess sat like a Buddha in her mom's uterus.
And I have the bruise to prove it.
Amazing. Well, Kim Kardashian can help you. So that's the moral
of
the story.
Always helping. We are here with Chaz Dean. He is a hairstylist. He is the man behind the Chaz Dean Studio, a salon in Hollywood. And of course, as you guys know, the founder of When Hair and Body Care by Chaz Dean, which came out in 1993. Did I get that right, Chaz?
I gave up lather in 1993. Yeah, I launched my products in November of 2000, but I gave up lather in 1993.
So this is, we have a weird connection. You don't know this. I know that like you're very famous and you meet a lot of people. You don't remember all the faces, but you were my very first beauty event. In like 2001 or 2002, I was sent as an intern. The Trust, they sent me alone to this like hotel suite to meet with you, and you showed me your cleansing conditioner on the balcony.
Wow. Oh, here in New York.
In New York,
right? Yeah.
Yes. And the fun, it's like, it just speaks
You don't
to,
remember her?
Well, I might.
No, it's
no,
totally
fine.
No, because
I did say you feel
You're
familiar
like,
with her,
little,
so okay.
Like, who is this little girl? I was like 20 years old.
Yeah, it was at, I remember it, because I had the balcony. We had the dogs there.
Yes,
I had
yes,
Hunter
you
Spencer
did,
earlier.
You did, you
See,
did.
I
you
remember.
Did. I do, I, you know, yep. Yes, because I remember, like, I didn't know what to expect with these kind of appointments, because I'd never, like, shadowed someone on it. It was just like, go meet Chaz Dean here. And I remember thinking, like, this is the most fabulous job. I want my internship advisor's job. Like, I want to be a beauty editor. And I was so unjaded by product that I literally told every single person I knew for like 2 weeks about how washing your hair with shampoo is destroying your
Thank
hair.
You.
And you gave me three. You gave me three fragrances. All right. Enough Thank about you. Me. But I just like, I really,
I love that.
It was a really special, like, you know. Baby beauty moment. Editor. Yeah, yeah. It was like my first big like New York moment. Okay, so I know that people think of you as an entrepreneur. You're on TV all the time. We're just talking about like you going to QVC and stuff before we start taping. But you are first and foremost a hairstylist. Why did you get into hair?
Wow. In high school, I took photography my 3 years in high school, and I loved it. A week after we graduated, because I grew up in Simi Valley. Okay,
so
I grew up
in
New Jersey,
school.
Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And then when I was 13, we moved to California. So I graduated high school. And a week later, my dad was transferred to Arizona. I was only 17, so I didn't have a choice. I really kind of had to go. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what do I want to do with my life? It's like, I love photography. So my first thought was go to school for photography. And I'm grateful I was adopted and my parents since birth. And my parents have been supportive. So like, okay, you want to go to mm-hmm. photography school? Absolutely. Go ahead and do that. We support you. So I did. And when I graduated from photography, I knew that I was going to move back to California because Arizona is not for me. I'm not good with heat like that at all. So I was ready to move back to California. And I was only 19 years old. And I thought, it's such a big city. And I just felt like I was this little fish in this huge pond. And I wanted more experience under my belt. So I thought, I want to incorporate hair and makeup with my photography so I don't have to translate how I want you to do the hair, how I want you to do the makeup. Mm-hmm. If I saw this vision, I want to be able to create that vision. So
That's
I went
ambitious.
To school for hair. Yeah, I went to school for hair and I learned photography through school and I took before and afters of all my models I did. Beauty school, normally you work on older ladies and shampoo sets and all that, but I would go out dancing to clubs like at least 3 or 4 times a week and I would meet college students at the clubs and I'd tell
He's
them to come in.
He's also a casting agent.
Almost. Oh, actually almost because I would go and I'd say, oh, come in.
You really
know,
had like a lot of mojo.
Yeah. Haircuts were $15. Highlights were like $25. So to get college students to come in for that, it was easy. So I built my portfolio and all through school, my goal was you knew that this kid, 19-year-old kid in Arizona was going to graduate and move and work at Vidal Sassoon. That was my goal. Mm-hmm. So everyone knew when I graduated, boom, he's leaving. I went to California. And I luckily had a friend that I met through photography school that she was a receptionist at Vidal Sassoon. And she goes, I can get your foot in the door. I'll get you the interview. The rest is up to you. I'm like, that's all I ask. Just get me an interview. So I went on the interview. I felt really good about it. I brought my portfolio. And at the end of the interview, they asked me, okay, do you want to be a colorist or cutter? And I'm like, I want to do both. I'm like, well, you have to choose one or the other here. You specialize in one or the other. I'm like, I don't know if I could do that. I couldn't imagine doing my whole career just cutting. I couldn't imagine my whole career just coloring. So I left that interview and said I'd have to think about it and get back to him. And I just knew that wasn't for me, that I had to find a space that I could do all of it. And I did.
You were very multidisciplinary.
Yeah, I really was. So I found a place that was a creative artistic center, learned there, assisted there. Once I finished my assistant program, which I got through it in like 6 months because I was very motivated, I started teaching classes and then I became an assistant manager. And at the age of 21, they asked me if I would manage a salon and they moved me to Century City Salon to manage that salon.
What was the name of the salon?
It was Carlton Hair. It was in the Beverly Center. And the irony is when I interviewed, the Beverly Center was new and open and so forth. And it was really creative and fun. It was like working in a nightclub. It was so exciting. And the day they hired me and they sent me to the Century City Salon, which nothing wrong with it, but it's lawyers, it's attorneys, it's all corporate, it's three-piece suits. I'm like, it wasn't the excitement I was looking for at 19.
It wasn't doing the club kids
in college? No, opposite. So I went there my very first day. I had to go to class because they had classes on Tuesdays. I went to class And the teacher asked me, oh, I haven't seen you before. Are you new? And I said, yeah, I interviewed at Beverly Center, but they sent me to Century City. I'm like, I really want to be at Beverly Center. He's like, well, let me see what I can do. And I'm like, who are you? And he's like, I'm the manager of Beverly Center. Oh. So the next day they called me and said, you're transferred and you're going to Beverly Center. So I end up being where I was. But the irony is 2 years later now, when they promoted me to manage, they wanted me to go and manage the Century City salon. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going
back. Yeah.
But it was a great step and it was a great experience for me. So I did go and do it. And I was like literally this 22-year-old kid that was managing up to 30 people, some of them twice my age. And you have to gain the respect and so forth. And it's really hard. And it was at a time where they would eat at their stations, drink at their stations, smoke at their stations. And
if they had cell phones, they'd be texting at
their
stations.
Oh, yeah. They didn't even have that then. But they were eating, drinking, smoking. And I said, I'll go as long as I can, you know, no eating at your station, no drinking, no smoking and whatnot. And I could hire and let go of who I choose. And they said, okay. Which didn't mean it was easy. I had a huge battle ahead of me, but it was a huge growing experience. And I probably wouldn't be where I'm at today if I didn't go through that in my life.
That managerial kind of like boss moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't imagine, though, that you're at like Beverly Center or Century City or whatever, and like Alyssa Milano pops in. What?
You know those places. You're from California?
No, I'm from Philadelphia.
You know of them?
But,
oh, okay.
But like, it's not like Alyssa Milano and, you know, Christine Applegate are just popping in for that. Like, how did you start doing celebrity hair?
I love that question because it is to get yourself on the map. And it's true. To get yourself on the map, you have to have that under your pocket because they want to know who you work on.
Yeah.
And that's the number one question all the time. So I don't know if you know the show Knott's Landing. Sharon was on that and I loved it. And I had a crush on the girl. We would have Knott's Landing nights, the whole salon.
She was later on Desperate Housewives,
yes,
right?
Yeah. Edie. Yes. Yep. And so, once I retired from management, because they didn't pay you to manage, it was just a title. So it was experience and a title. You didn't get paid for it. It took away from working with your clients. It took away from everything because you had to manage, you had to go to meetings. There was a lot that had to happen. I loved doing hair and it was taking away from that. And they didn't pay you for it. And I just said, just pay me minimum wage. Just show me that it means something to you. And I'm fine with that. But didn't do that. You can only do that for so long. I did it for a couple of years. And finally, I resigned from management. I went to the Bel Air Salon, which is in the Glen Center.
Okay, now we're getting in the area.
That's where we are. Now you know. That's how it happened. And it is true. So when I went to the Bel Air Salon, it was all ex-managers because like every manager that resigned, that's where they went. Mm-hmm. And as time went on, it was a busy, buzzing salon. They were making money. It was doing great. But as time went on, like the years went on, as they were ex-managers, they started going out and opening their own salon. So as new people came in, new stylists, it wasn't as busy and they weren't making the money they did. And I explained to them that you had stylists that had their own clientele, so it's a no-brainer. But as they're leaving and you're getting new stylists, it's not that they're not talented, but people aren't walking in the door because the name Carlton was over the door. Mm-hmm. And I told them that for years, and this is no joke. And then finally one day the buzz was going around that they were going to be selling the salon. I'm like, oh my gosh, where am I going to go? And you start looking like, where am I going to go if this closes down? And they had offered it to me, but I should actually back up because before this, when I was assisting for them, I had brought up, this is where my product starts. As a 19-year-old, I brought up to them, I don't understand, you have your own product line, but you order deep conditioners, the Hypro Packs, and why don't you have your own deep conditioner? Just as a kid, I just noticed that. And they said, well, if you want, we'll set you up with a lab if you want to help us create one. And I'd never done anything like that. I'm like, of course, yes, please do. So they set me up with a lab. I met with a woman. Here's what we use. Here's what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. And I worked with her for probably 9 months to a year till we finally launched that conditioner.
Like it was the Carlton Deep Conditioner.
Yeah.
This was not branded by you. You're doing it for someone else.
No, I did it for someone else. I did it for someone else. I was 19 at the time. And so I did it. It was really exciting to do. We launched it. It did great. Shortly after that, they said, we're thinking of doing a more natural product line. Would you be interested?
Oh, how ahead of the curve.
Yeah, it really was. It really was. And the only thing that was on the market at the time was Aveda. And they wanted to follow in that footsteps.
Okay.
So they said, we're thinking of doing a more natural product line. Would you be interested in helping us? I said, yes, but what will I get out of it? And they're like, oh, just prove you can do it. And then we'll talk about that. In my mind, as a 19, 20-year-old kid, I thought, kind of, didn't I already do that with the deep conditioner? But I was excited, young and naive. So I did do it, and I created a primrose shampoo for them, sage conditioner, and rosemary conditioner for them. And it came to fruition. It went on the market. And then I said, you know, hey,
like back bar stuff. This is like they're selling it at their salon.
Their product line. Yeah, major product. When I tell you the line, you're going to be like, everyone knows what it is now.
It wasn't branded Carlton.
Oh, no.
What was it called? Tell us.
It was originally when they launched it, they called it, well, the clincher is they did it. This is the truth, though. They had a contest to name the brand. And I'm like, I'm creating it. Let someone else name it. I didn't care that much about it at that time. So they had a contest. And one of the guys in the office, because they were a South African company, named it. And they wanted it to be very ecology mm-hmm. friendly. Yeah. So they named it ECOLI.
And when they
Oh
my gosh.
Lord. Yes, it's not a joke. And as soon as they realized what they did, they changed it to ECOLY, like ecology.
Okay.
And then it became fashion formulas, and now it's a sexy concept, the big sexy hair. It's that line.
So
I created their first ever three products.
You were
in that line.
The very start.
I was
Sexy hair used to be called E. coli.
Yeah. That's the most unsexy name in the world.
Very unsexy.
That's so funny.
You know, it's like a contest and So that's where it all started, me creating products. So when they offered me, hey, we're thinking of selling the salon, would you be interested? Well, here's the part is, after I launched my products and I'm like, what am I going to get of it? They're like, come and meet us at the office. And I did, their corporate office. And they literally, I was across the table from, they had a piece of paper upside down. They mm-hmm. slid it across to me. And here's the part, and I explain this to people. And when I speak, I do, because it's how you value yourself and how you devalue yourself without any conversation. Mm-hmm. And when I first started the project, I thought, well, I'm not investing money, but I'm doing this. I'm working with the lab. And in my own head, I'm like, maybe if they give me like 15%. And then within the year and a half of doing it, I went from like 15% to 12%. And this is my own dialogue in my mm-hmm. own head. No conversation.
Did you have anyone? You didn't have anyone advising you?
No, because I was 20, 21 at the time. So no, I had no one. I was a kid. So I didn't. And like imagine a year and a half later, I went from 15% to 12% before I even met with them to go into the office for that meeting. I had talked my own self down. Well, if they give me 3 or 5%, I'd probably be happy, meaning something.
Right. You were just so, like, you wanted crumbs. Wanted anything.
Yeah. But in my own head, without dialogue. So I teach people, don't devalue yourself without dialogue.
So
what was on the paper?
I'm going to tell you.
Wait. I want to go back to what? Give us the paper first, and then I have a follow-up question.
Okay. So in my mind, I went from 15% to a year and a half later. Okay, if they give me three to five, because I know they wouldn't pay me to manage. They wouldn't pay me minimum wage. So I'm like, okay, I know.
Expect the worst.
Expect the worst. So I'm like 3 to 5%. I'd probably be okay with that. They slid the paper across. I turned it over. They offered me 1 penny per bottle for every bottle manufactured. Now, if that's not sand in the face, salt in the
eyes.
That's
like 0.00003%. Yeah.
In my mind, mind's really going, mean. Okay, 100 bottles equals $1.
Oh,
and in your mind, you have no money. You're thinking, well, to get to even just $1,000, I'm going to have to sell, 100,000 or 10,000 bottles? 100,000? 100,000 bottles. It was crazy.
What'd you
do? They said it's that or nothing. I'm like, I signed it, but I never even saw that. So it was a learning growth experience. And I wouldn't change it because I wouldn't have my line if I didn't do that for them.
So let me stop you. For our people who are listening, because I think, you know, there's something analogous in what your example to like everyone's life, like where they're going for a raise or, mm-hmm. you know, what is your, like, what's your new mojo? Like, what do you do? Do you have, I'm sure you have like a business manager and you're much far more seasoned now, but I understand why you felt that way because you're a kid and you're just so happy to be there, you know?
You just gave me an epiphany and I didn't think of it until you asked me that question. Because now with everything I do, with all my projects, everything I do, I'm like, I don't want surprises. If I know what I'm getting I learned that. And I never realized that you gave me that epiphany when you asked me that because I am. I'm like, do not give me surprises. Tell me what it is, but don't come back at me with something else because I'm not good with that. So, yeah, I didn't even realize that until you literally just asked me that question.
When we say, tell me what it is you want to know.
Well, I'm working on construction jobs and this and that. I'm like, don't hit me with, give me the truth. Tell me what it is so I'm not surprised later. Tell me up front.
So that's the
lesson. And I'm fine with it because I can handle it as long as I know what I'm getting into.
But what about when you need to say the number first? You didn't value yourself. What about if you were like, okay, ready? I have a brand new shopping network, okay? We're going to poach you.
Yes.
We're so excited.
It's CVQ.
You're a marquee name, Chaz.
Yes.
And I'm like, what are you looking for?
Wow. Well, I mean,
I'm not asking you to give me the figure.
No, in mine, I know my value now. So, yeah, that is it. I'd be like, I know my worth at this point. compared to what I did as a 20-year-old or
21-year-old.
And
that's just time and
experience. Yeah. Yeah, but I guess back then if I could do that over again, I would have asked them. But would I have had the opportunity if I had all that dialogue? You know what I mean? The experience, mm-hmm. I wouldn't trade that for the world, but I don't want people also getting screwed over. So I kind of know what you're getting into. Ask up front and don't wait and assume it's going to be something. But in my head, I already told you that. I knew they wouldn't even pay minimum wage to manage. So I knew it wasn't going to be good
right,
in the end.
Right. So, okay. So then you feel like this experience had made you want to start your own thing, right? So you're not getting a penny per bottle.
Yeah. Well, the funny part is when I did, when they first offered me the salon, my first, can I say the word? I said, well, I said, hell no. When they first offered me a salon, I said, hell no, because I knew they screwed me over so many times that I'm like, you're not going to get me again. But then I thought about, I'm like, wait a minute. The only reason a salon doesn't work is because their pride won't let them change that name. Because I said, change it to, did I get into that part about the name over the door? Okay. So as it was getting slower and slower, I told them for years, you just need to change the name. You're in a multi-million dollar neighborhood. It's one of the richest neighborhoods in California. And these women aren't going to go to a Carlton salon that they look at as a discount salon.
Yeah.
So change it to Tree Branch Wood. I'm making up anything. Yeah, yeah. Anything. I would look outside
not
Tree
E-coli,
Branch Wood.
Yeah.
Name it to any. Yeah, don't name it E. coli.
Something pretty. Something,
yes. So I would tell them that for years and they wouldn't listen. And they would also ask me, I don't understand. How come you never order shampoo from us, but you order all the conditioner all the time? Like at the beginning, I told them, like, I gave up lather the day I opened my salon. And I would order the sage conditioner, rosemary conditioner, the ones I created for them. And I would mix those is how it all started. And they never understood, why are you never running shampoo? I'm like, I don't use shampoo. And they just thought, oh, he's crazy. He's off, went off the deep end. And they didn't want to hear anything about it. But as the years went on, like 2 to 3 years later, they started coming back. And they're like, well, wait a minute. What do you mean you don't? And I'm like, mm-mm. I knew they were ready to shoot me in the back again, stab me in the back again. And I told Stat, do not tell them what I'm on to because they will steamroller me.
We have to talk about what you're onto, though, because we have to catch up some of our listeners who are like,
what does that
happening?
Mean? What is he onto?
I know everybody knows a when.
Yeah. So cut to, you created a line of no lathering, cleansing conditioners. How do you describe it? And what did people think when you did this back in the 90s?
Oh, and I'll go full circle of my celebrity client. So at that time, at that salon, my first celebrity client was, my first celebrity client really was Nicolette Sheridan.
Oh, yes.
And she was one of the other stylist clients, and he wasn't able to take her one day. And he's like, oh, your dreams are going to come true today. I said, why? He goes, because Nicolette's coming in. I don't have time to do her, so you're going to do her today. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Because I had a crush on her back then. So I'm like,
well,
oh, my gosh.
She was like super babe.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yep. Yep. Paige from Knots Landing. So she came in and she used bleach, obviously. I didn't use bleach, so I got her off the bleach and I got her off the shampoo. And I mean, I'm like, just trust me, I promise it works. And everyone's first like, what do you mean I'm not going to use shampoo? How am I going to get my hair clean? I'm like, it's going to cleanse it, but it's not going to strip it. It's going to hydrate it all at the same time. It's just not going to lather.
And so this is your own little concoction that you've made.
Yeah, my own that I made up for them, literally, the sage and rosemary. Because the sage was really moisturizing. The rosemary was really astringent. So I would do 2/3 sage, 1/3 rosemary. I had to empty out every bottle, custom blend it for every client that came in, send them home with that. And I would say, I promise it works. As long as you trust me, promise it works, and so forth. So she started with me. And shortly after, her brother was dating Tori Spelling from 90210. So she sent Tori Spelling to me. So I got Tori Spelling off the bleach and off the shampoo. Mm-hmm. And it just snowballed. Because then she sent Shannon Doherty and Jenny Garth. And it just snowballed. It was so...
Got the whole 90210 cast.
Oh, I totally did. I mean, even Kathleen Robertson, who's all of them. And then I was getting the ER girls as well, Juliana Margulies, because one of my best friends was her personal assistant. She goes, I'm going to try and get Juliana into you. I'm like, please, please, please do. Because you fight so
gorgeous
hard
curls.
To get names. Yes. She's amazing.
Yes.
And got her off the shampoo. And then she sent Gloria Rubin, and it just snowballed. It was amazing.
Did you start selling? So I'm sure you sold the cleansing conditioner at your salon, right? You started selling it there.
Yeah. Well,
besides
I used
it to your
before
clients.
I formulated my own. Yeah, I used to sell those, the sage and rosemary's. Then what I did is I started work. Once I realized in my mind, I'm like, wait, I created this for them years ago. I need to do this for myself.
Yeah.
But again, you don't have money to do it, so it takes time. So in 1996, which was 3 years later, I started formulating it. I'm like, here's my starting ground. I want to go light years beyond this, but this is what I'm doing now. Let's far exceed that. And I've completely exceeded it. So it took me almost 5 years before I launched it. And also part of that was I didn't have the money to do it.
Yeah, how did you get the money to take it from the kitchen sink kind of concoction to – now or when cleansing cream, like on television?
Yeah. The big part was is when I first had the epiphany of it, I literally went to, and you may have heard this before and heard me say that, I literally went and got sage and rosemary and lavender and eucalyptus. I went up to Mulholland Drive in Coldwater and picked eucalyptus off the trees there. No joke. Lisa Wren lives right there. Lisa and Harry live right across the street from that. I literally did. And I did a concoction of like an elixir. It was like, I'm really hot in here. It's hot in here.
It gets hot when our air conditioner turns off.
Is that what happened?
You better talk quicker because we're not allowed to turn it back on until our episode's over.
She's you better go fast.
No, I'm just teasing.
So I didn't. I boiled it and it's just like a tea. I mean, I'm drinking green tea. It was just like that. But I went in my shower and I cleansed my hair. And because it had astringent properties and moisturizing properties, I'm like, wow, this feels amazing. I knew I was onto something. And that's when I started going working with the lab. I'm like, this is what I'm using. But I also did the sage, the rosemary, lavender, eucalyptus.
How did you get the money to do this?
Well, when you're first working with the lab, you don't need the money right up front.
Okay.
Up front, you don't. It's when you're ready to formulate that you do. And that's the hard part. It was, God, there's so much to this story. Because I would ask clients that I knew might have had some money that I didn't have. Long story short.
You were in the right circles.
Yeah. Well, and I found my birth mother within that time frame. Before I launched, I found my birth mother. My mom had passed away of cancer 18 years ago. And before she passed, I found my birth family. And I asked them and they didn't come from money, but I'm like, I kind of put it out there. Anyone, would you be interested? Because I knew it was going to take me a long time to save up for this. And fortunately or unfortunately, no one was able to. And so I did it. It took me, like I said, 5 years. When I did it, I wasn't even able to do the minimal amount from the lab. So I got them to make it and I had to have another lab fill it because I couldn't even meet the minimum, which I'm grateful for. And then the other part is Mindy Cohen from Facts of Life was my client. Ah. She's in the city right now. She was my client at the time
Mindy.
As well. Yeah, love
You're
her.
You're like the king of 90s TV hair.
Isn't that crazy?
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. So she said, as soon as you get it, I'm going to get it too. Because she was like literally friends with, I mean, I remember the people. It was like Jacqueline Smith and Halle Berry
together,
and Christine Applegate.
Bit.
Yeah. She's like, when you have it, I promise I'm going to get it to all my friends and whatnot. And she really helped me. And I've always given her credit that she was the one that was right on my back saying, I'm going to get it to all my friends that I can. And once you use it, my cap in mind was before I even launched it, one of my biggest ones was for the 1999 Grammys. My client also was a personal assistant for Alanis Morissette. And she asked me, would you want to do Alanis' hair for the Grammys? I'm like, no. I mean, hello, of course. So it wasn't even on the market
that
yet.
That was like peak Alanis.
Oh my God, it was when she was for Uninvited.
Oh, I love that
song. If you remember,
song.
And I did the hair with all the crystals in her hair.
Oh,
and all that
yes.
Stuff. That was
yes.
me.
Oh,
that
my
was
God.
Me. And it became a thing. All those jewels and whatnot. I did those little clips, little snaps, and I glued on crystals to
this
a snap.
This is 1999. I wore crystals on my hair for prom.
Oh, my God, did you? Oh, my God, I love you.
Yeah.
It started something huge.
It was so cool.
I only did it once because once you do it, it becomes huge. You got to move to the next thing.
Got into like mine were Velcro. Every girl was doing that.
Yeah. I got snaps. I glued them on the snaps. I braided. I put all kinds of texture.
And then Claire's was selling them and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Can I ask you this, though?
Yes.
I'm sure listeners are wondering.
But that was a huge thing for me. Yeah. Hers, because it was to her. But I'm just saying, because I want you to go there.
Me to go on my podcast? Thanks.
No, I don't mean that. I want you to say that. But the thing was, is her hair was down to her butt. And she was amazed at what she used. She didn't even know what it was. And her personal assistant said, tell him what you told me. She goes, my God, my fingers glided through my hair. It's never felt so good.
And
I'm
she
like,
was using
that's Alanis Morissette. And she won
your,
that year. My cleansing conditioner.
So for all the people who are like, but why don't I need lather? What's wrong with lather?
Everything.
We ask this question of a lot of people. No. Okay. So this day and age, we have like 20 more years of learning since then. Why do you want us not to have lather?
Because I gave it up. Numerous reasons. Because we're on here, I'm going to tell most of them as well. I gave it up, number one, because my clients, I'm a colorist. And their color, leave the salon. Like if you're vibrant red and you come back brassy and faded and all whatnot, or if your highlights, all the color was going down the drain. They would come back and say, I don't even have regrowth yet, but my color's all faded.
And I
couldn't figure out why until I realized I was shampooing, conditioning my hair twice a day because I was so oily. If I was going to dinner or a movie, I'd have to find time to shampoo and condition my hair because I was robbing my scalp of my natural oils and your body works overtime to replenish them.
Because of the surfactants in
shampoo. Yeah, you can't trick your body. It's like trying to trick your body on a diet. You cannot trick your body. You know that.
Sort of like take out the pigment, but also dry out your scalp so you get more oil rebound.
Yeah, oily scalp, and then your ends were dry so it would never balance out or never catch up. So I stopped for that reason. So like I said, when I first, the first time I tested it, was in my shower, and it was like I had roommates, and I'm like, don't touch the top shelf in the shower because it was my experiment. I was like a mad scientist, and they all knew it. Don't touch whatever he has up there, because I had him in orders. Like, yeah. I would always do the left side with this one, the right side with this one.
Oh, you're funny.
For years, I had half and half. And I'm like, what side looks better to you? And I knew what felt better. So I was like a mad scientist, like crazy. But the answer is because of all the stripping, it strips everything out of your hair. If I ask people what reason to use shampoo for, they're not doing it to they're really not doing it to, you know, strengthen their hair, hydrate their hair. They're doing it to clean your hair. So if you can clean it but not strip it, why would you not? And that was number one why. Yeah. So, and the other part was when I first started doing it and people were skeptical. They're like, that doesn't make sense. That sounds backwards. So when I went to name it, I'm like, I'm looking for a three-letter word. I wrote words down on paper like, that doesn't make sense. That sounds backwards. I'm like, but it's a whole new way of looking at cleansing your hair. I wrote down new, held up in front of the mirror, new when.
Ta-da.
And it was perfect.
I was going to ask you.
And that's why the N and when is backwards.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, it's a backwards N and when.
So most people, our listeners, they know when from TV. So when did you go on TV and you went like gangbusters when you're on TV. So like, why do you think that worked so well?
Because when I was ready to launch my product, I still knew I was onto something huge because I was the first. There was no category as cleansing conditioner. I'm like,
true.
I had to come up with, what am I going to call this? It's not shampoo. It's not just conditioner. And I thought, well, you're cleaning, conditioning. So I really went with cleansing conditioner, and there was no category as that. So when I did, I realized that I had a patent pending on my formula. And I had the bottles of it, but I was afraid to talk about it because I thought these huge companies are going to come and steamroll me and take my idea. And I'm like, I have to talk about it. I've got to get it out there. But I also knew I had clients that would say, you need to get on QVC. And I'm like, my mom used to watch that. And QVC knows this. Yeah. I used to tease my mom because I'm like, Mom, I worked at a mall. You're supposed to go to a mall to shop. You don't shop from TV. Mm-hmm. She was ahead of the curve because when they first launched, she started shopping. And I just used to tease, like, Mom, you can't buy jewelry. You can't buy these things from TV. You got to go to malls. So when the client told me you need to be on QVC, I'm like, no, that's what my mom did. I know what you're talking about. And it didn't make sense. And the more I thought about it, I thought, they are right. Because
it's a lot of explanation to do.
That's exactly it. I'm like, you're going to pick up a bottle of cleansing conditioner. No one knew what it was back then. Now, 21 years later, they do know what cleansing conditioner is, but they didn't know what that was. So I knew I had a platform to explain, here's a bottle, here's what you're going to do with it, here's how it works. Now, in the same time, Guthy Ranker was Proactive. That was their one, they were number one with that. And I'm like, they are the Goliath of infomercials. And I thought that would be my ultimate. And I had a client who was in her 60s, and it changed her hair like, she's like, I have the hair I've always dreamed of. And she was an executive sales coach for them. So she says, when I get my foot in the door and I'm comfortable and I know I'm content, I'm going to pitch you to them. To Guthy Ranker. So I was trying to get into QVC and I was kind of dabbling with that. And I was someone prior to all this that would procrastinate a little bit more. And I guess because I was afraid of what the answer was. And the time came when Desperate Housewives was on the air. And I had a style lounge hosted at my salon in Hollywood. And Terry Hatcher showed up. It was before Desperate Housewives went on the air, and Marsha Cross came. And I met her. We became friends. She loved the music I had. We sent her home with the music. She invited me to her 40th birthday in November.
What was the music?
I had real good chill kind of music. Like, it was just chill music. It's I'm trying to think if it was before Coldplay, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
If it makes sense. But she loved it. So I burned her CD, take that. But she invited me to her 40th party. I went to her party. And I walked in, and Eva Longoria was there, and I had known her from 1999 when she was on soap operas, and she was using her when and loving her when, and she would talk about it. And so she was dating J.C. Chazé at the time.
Oh, my God.
NSYNC.
Blast from the past.
You remember that?
I love it.
But the crazy connection is my roommate was their makeup artist. So as I walked in and
everyone
she says,
everyone in L.A. is connected to
it's
you.
It's so connected because she walked in and she's like, Chaz. And J.C.'s like, how do you know Chaz? She's like, how do you know Chaz? And I'm like, yeah, why use when?
Everybody knows
and then,
Chaz.
So then I went upstairs and Terry Hatcher was up there and she goes, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Because I hadn't seen her for months since the event. She goes, let me just tell you. I've never been known as the girl with the good hair. Uh-huh. My hair, oh my gosh, look at it, and da-da-da. I went downstairs. Felicity Huffman was there. And she's with William H. Macy, her husband. Yeah. I'm like, hey, Felicity, because I've never met them. I just know they all use it on the set. And so they had a house account set up, all of them, the guys, the kids, everyone in House Place used Wen, the kids, everyone. And so she tells Wilma H. Macy, come on, honey, it's him, the tea tree that's in our shower, that's him. So I went from there. In the next room was Marcia Cross. And I said, I had a style lounge. I didn't get to meet you at that. She goes, oh my God, I love the fig. And it's like, that was my breakthrough.
You're like, we need to get on TV.
And they had been, well, they had been nominated for the Golden Globe that year, their first year. And I told them I was going to bring baskets for them as a congratulations. Mm-hmm. And within that time frame, their people came to pick up products for them. And they said, Oprah's coming on the set and she's going to do a spoof on Desperate Housewives. Do you want to do a basket for her? Another one. Do you want? No, I'll pass. Of course I will.
Of course.
So I got a basket ready. I went on set with them. I brought the basket to her. I explained to Oprah all about when. And as I drove off the lot that day, I thought, I need to do this QVC thing. I've been holding it because I didn't want to get a no. And I thought, if they don't want it now, this is the number one show. Oprah. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even use Oprah's name because I know you don't use Oprah's name unless she gives you permission to. But knowing I handed her when.
Oh, my God. There were repercussions of using Oprah's name.
Right?
I just got scared. Like, have we ever used a Jen?
No. Yeah. So I didn't use her name because I know you don't use her name. But the confidence knowing I handed her a basket of when. I'm like, if they don't want it now, they never will. So finally, I called them again. And this was in January. So in January, I called them. Finally, by the end of March, I got a call from them. And I had a call from my attorney at the same time. And both were on the same line. I'm like, I'm going to take QVCs. And I did. And I was on the phone with them. And they said, well, we're thinking about da-da. And I said, when would you want me to come? And I knew they were in Pennsylvania. They're like, how about next week? I'm like, absolutely. So I already know. It was April 4th of 2005. And the same day that I was meeting with them, my executive sales coach that was bringing it to Guthrie Ranker had a meeting with them. She goes, I'm meeting with them tomorrow, and I'm going to pitch one to them. So the very same day, Guthrie Ranker and QVC, and I was in Pennsylvania. Gosh. She was in Palm Springs. And the same day, April 4th, 2005, both of them were pitched, and they both happened.
And you got both.
I got both. Yeah, it was insane.
And then suddenly, you became a TV star.
Yeah.
And Wen was selling like crazy. I mean, how much – this stuff is – you just have to be. I can't even speak. I'm getting all like tongue tied. People who aren't even into beauty know when you and your face and the cleansing conditioner. How big was when, or is when, whatever you want to say.
I became because I started at the bottom. I worked my way up, and I was there in 2005 is when I started, August 27th, 2005, and it just kept growing and growing and growing and growing, and we kept growing and growing. And by 2000, because you always know who's in there with all the beauty vendors and so mm-hmm. forth. And it was always at the top was Philosophy, BE, and then
Bare
by
Essentials.
2000. Yeah, Bare Essentials. And by the time 2000, I think it was 13, we were like in third. And then by 2014, we become second. And then 2015, we became their number one beauty brand.
QVC's on TVC. Number one. That's crazy.
Yeah, which was insane.
Wow. So the thing is, this was prevalent. It was in everybody's household. And obviously, when you get that big, a couple people have problems. So we have to ask you about this.
Well, that was my target.
Oh, you had a target
on
your
target.
Back. For sure.
That was my target.
But so, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not sure if everybody realizes this, but the FDA investigated because there were some claims about hair loss associated with the product. They were not able to find any proof to those claims.
No, for years, all the way since back in 2000.
Sure, it's their job to investigate, but they could not find proof, so they therefore couldn't.
A couple of people came out and they were like, they
made
these
claims. Well, it's like 1,000 people. I think they looked into every claim. They could not find any proof that your products caused damage. They can't call a recall, and they didn't even ask you to do a recall. But you ended up settling a lawsuit in association with this, right? Will you tell us what happened?
I can say some, I can't say all,
what
but
you legally
here's the beginning.
Say.
What I can say is at the beginning, I said, there's no way I am. There's no way. Because I
you
knew
were very
and I
open about letting 100%. Them investigate,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. And we still have. And also the other part that you need to know is that when this came out, we have done we've had to do testing for mm-hmm. QVC. You have to do all this testing.
They're especially litigious.
100%.
You can't breathe a word that is like could be taken out of context.
So you open up your ingredients to them. You open up everything.
Absolutely everything. To this day, since all that's happened, I've spent literally, no joke, millions on the testing to every expert around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Around the world. And at this point, I would say that to my knowledge, we are probably the most, in my opinion, tested product out there because I wanted to know. If there's something I need to know, I want
to know. Yeah.
They tested it every which way and form, every expert literally around the world. And we are at some point in the very near future going to have all that of a website. They can all come if they want to sit there and read all of it. I mean, we tested every way, shape, and form.
Do you think it's just a numbers game? If that many millions of people are using it.
Well, here's what it is. Again, if say I make up here blue, if I told you blue shampoo or blue toothpaste causes cavities. You're like, I use blue. It's got to be blue. They opened it
people
up.
People connected the dots.
Exactly.
So that I don't know if I understand the analogy. So it's if people
they have hair problems and then they also happen to use your product once.
So they
connected the two, and you were not able
that.
To show causation.
Yes, exactly.
But people just think, oh, I heard about this. It must be that.
Yeah, millions of people suffer hair loss every year without.
Also because it's a unique product. I mean, I know that
it's different than what I'm used to.
Yeah, we in the beauty community know what this thing is, but they could easily be like, you know what it is.
It's that new thing.
So the thing you bought off TV.
The class action suit, though, the judge didn't say you did wrong, they did wrong, whatever, but you settled. Why settle if you know that this didn't cause these problems?
Yeah, because the element is unfortunately, it had been almost close to 4 years. And your business is declining. And again, I probably wouldn't even be in the court up to this date if so. So you have to make the right decision. Because at the beginning, I said, there's no way. And as it gets worse and worse and worse, and it's media, and it gets worse and worse, and we're still testing, it's just you got to make your choices. Either you got to put this behind you and continue to forge forward. I never turned back. Even with QVC, I still kept moving forward, going forward, because I believed it.
Just to close the loop on this, people could get their money back if they bought your product and they weren't happy.
Yeah, they did basically. And so forth. Yeah, but the other part is we do absolutely 100%. I mean, we changed so many things since then as well. But encourage you, if you ever have any hair loss, go see a dermatologist.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen. They just want to connect it. And again,
I was an individual.
Being an individual person and a corporation is a huge difference.
Causation. I get it.
I had a huge learning lesson from that.
So I want to ask you, I mean, if somebody like accuses me of anything, like true or not true, it hurts. Like you start thinking like, oh, did I do something? Or, no one wants people to be mad at them. How did you get through that time? Because you're so public and this is like your baby.
Yeah.
And that's like, that
hard.
Had to hurt. Like, what did you do?
Well, it was because as you said, I've never talked about this. I was known and I was loved. And when people saw me and they lit up, I knew why.
Yeah, you're
I changed
like a
their life.
Personality.
I made their, oh, yeah, you changed my life. You changed everything. Oh, my God, you gave me the hair I always dreamed of. And then all of a sudden it became that to like, okay, why they look at me for that reason or that reason. And you never know. And I'm finally back on the upswing of like being stopped and like, oh, my gosh, you changed my life. Thank you so much. But again, if you heard that it was, and I mean, you use so many products. If you heard that it was, you're like, well, I use it. It had to be that. So that's it. But as far as, like I said, the testing, there's not one test that we could, there's not like a list of tests. We had to come up with even tests that, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? So it's all going to
be. So basically,
we have a website for it.
Cleanest, most tested product available now.
To my knowledge, yes, I would believe so. Because I know, and again, I spent millions. Why? Because we were losing millions. So of course I spent millions because I also want to know. And you have to realize these are experts in their field worldwide. And the first thing they said is, well, might not tell you what you want to hear. I'm like, good. We don't want that. And again, we know you're not going to tarnish your reputation. Just tell me what I want to hear. I don't want that. If there's something here that I need to know and that I need to correct, I want to know that.
Yeah.
Even though I believed 100% not because I saw, all these millions, because we're talking millions of people whose lives we changed worldwide.
Did you lean on anyone during that time?
Yeah.
Actually,
I love you. So I did. I used to go to Reverend Della, Reverend Della Rieslett from Touched by an Angel.
Yes. I didn't know she was
minister.
A reverend.
Yeah.
She's a real reverend.
Yeah. She passed away a year and a half ago, but she was my angel.
Touched
by an Angel. She was my angel.
Beautiful.
And there were times that I don't sleep as is. And along that times it was so much worse because I'm like, I don't understand why it's happening, but I'm like, again, she would say, he's not giving you anything you can't handle, even though she can't give me the answer why it's happening. Mm-hmm. I just know there's got to be a reason. I still don't know what that answer is and why. I know the way our system works is a part of it, but I know who I am and I know what I put out there. And I know I'm a very complete perfectly honest person. And anyone, I will take as much time as needs for you to understand what it is your hair. I mean, no matter where we are, airport, restaurant, I will stop and I will give you as much time and ask him for help with your hair.
So it's funny.
Today after lunch, a woman walked by. She had her dog with her. And I'm like, we have a gift bag. Can you give her one? And I sat and explained what it was. I'm like, our number's on the bottle. Call us if you need to. Let me know. I've always been that person. I am that person because I don't just hand you, good luck. I'm like, I want you to have the best. It's not just hair now. It's hair, skin, it's head to toe. It's everything now. So
and pets now. Yes. I love that you're an animal lover. You are a huge animal lover, and you do a lot for animal charities. And you even have, to Jen, she was saying, you have a pet line.
Yeah. Yeah. And the same thing. Same thing with pets. It's like, growing up, I'm allergic to animals. I'm allergic to cats and dogs.
So let's get five.
That's what's crazy. I've had four. I have three now. But growing up, when I would get allergy testing, I would get allergy shots twice a week. And when the doctor told my mom, we had a collie growing up in Pennsylvania, and they said, you're going to have to get rid of your dog because your son's allergic to him. I literally told my parents, if you do, I will run away. And it's like, I'm serious. I love my dog. There's no way. I'm like, why can't we just wash her more often? So we would wash her with what was pet shampoo at the time, and she would end up with hot spots and dry and itchy and all that stuff. And it was horrible. And it's like, sorry, all these people that say this about their pets. I'm like, try Wen Pets, guys. Again, because it's not stripping. It's not robbing. It's hydrating.
So when you wash your dogs more often, your allergies are better?
Yeah. I cleanse them.
But you needed something that was like gentle enough.
Yeah. I ever since I gave up lather 26 years ago, that's all I've ever washed my dogs with. And I do it once a week. And I wish they could have. If you could feel their coats, they're so silky.
We didn't let his dogs in the studio.
I know. I feel this is not a pet friendly building.
No, it's hot in here, and we don't have dogs.
Oh, they would be melting in here. But yeah. So, and the other part I think is important. I don't know if people realize it. We're recognized by the Leaping Bunny because there's no animal testing, no animal byproducts. And I'm not someone who jumped on that bandwagon a month, a year ago, 2 years ago. I've been that way for 19 years since I've been on the market. I created them that way. No animal testing, no animal byproducts in it. But now everyone's like, pet friendliness. I've always been that way. It's just who I am. I love
And they're
animals.
A big part of your life, your
Oh,
dogs.
My God. They're my every. My happiness comes from, you can't have, I couldn't imagine my life without, they're unconditional love. Yeah. They're unconditional love. They're my,
feels
they
like
my
your MO life. A little bit. Unconditional love. Tell me, what are the best-selling Wen products now? Because I know back in the day it was like everybody had the fig one or the whatever. Now you have all these body care products, all this other stuff. What's doing really well for you?
Well, I launched one product in November of 2000. We now have over 700 products. And it's from our customer on QVC. They're very vocal. When I launched in the category of mousse, it's like, I'm like, no, we can't do a mousse, because you think a mousse is that old Nick Letcher back in those days, the 80s crunchy mousse. I'm like, if I'm going to do it, it has to be like groundbreaking something else. But I mean, mine have 11 amino acids and peptides.
Is your mousse does it do very well?
It's incredible. Yeah, it does incredible. It's because you put it on. I mean, people literally put it on their skin when they don't have a moisturizer because it's so treated.
Oh, wow. Putting a mousse on my skin is creepy. So
you put it on and you feel like, oh my gosh, it's so silky. But I mean, we have that. They asked me to do hairspray for years. I'm like, I can't do it because environmentally it wasn't, friendly. So until 2.5 years ago, and I was able to do an environmentally friendly aerosol mousse, which is HFC-152A, and it's deemed environmentally friendly. So now I have a dry cleanser as well instead of dry shampoo. Mm. I just encourage people to read their ingredients. That's why when all this happened to me, I'm like, really?
Me? I'm the guy who's looking at the ingredients. Yeah.
Thank you.
How come your
Read my dry cleanser as opposed to dry. Dry shampoos have propane and butane and aluminum.
So you get some of that aerosol-like spray without those chemicals?
Yeah, without the chemicals. Yeah, it's HFC-152.
I don't know what that
means. Environmentally friendly.
No.
It's a way of doing the propellant without the damaging effects.
Interesting.
And the body treatments that we have with vitamin K and arnica. We have lip scrubs without sugars that strip your lips.
You're giving me these details from the 90s, and I'm like, how old is this guy? Because you look good.
Because I haven't used lather on my skin. I'm not joking. For 26 years.
Do you use Wen on your face, too?
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's my skin, and I'm melting in here, but I use Wen.
We're going to let you out in a second.
Oh, it's okay. I mean, it's okay.
We held him captive.
But I have a question. Is there anything you want to achieve that you have not achieved?
Wow.
You're really getting hot.
Yeah, I'm opening a salon here in New York.
And okay.
The crazy part you probably don't know, is I purchased the salon September of 2015.
Okay.
September of 2015.
Is it just an empty storefront right now?
it's being renovated, but it's in Greenwich Village. It's in the West Village. And it's right, Juliana Moore's right in that neighborhood.
Okay.
It's right where the hospital was that those condos
were. Oh, 7th Avenue,
right there.
Yeah.
I'm right across the street from Meatballs and right next to Rosemary's Pizza.
How fab.
So crazy.
This is how he's
going
to market. Right across the street from Meatballs.
I have been. I have. I'm like, you know where Meatballs is. You know where the hospital came down, the condos went.
Yeah.
I'm literally right there. So I'm so crazy excited. It's been almost, it'll be 4 years
when
in September.
It open?
But it was landmark. So it took 3 years to get through all that.
Yeah.
And so now with the construction, it's, by the end of this year. I'm pushing. I'm like, I told him I want
exciting.
It by October.
What will it be called?
Chazdean Studio.
Same thing?
Chazdean Studio.
So you'll be by
and
Coast
we already have people that want to book. They're like, can I make an appointment? I'm like, you can get on the list, but I don't know when we're opening, but if you want to get on
the list. Are
you
going to remember Jess and I? We're going to be like, with our faces.
You mean Angie Harmon and Juliana Moore?
You guys, that's what
you guys don't know how they
those
look.
Are
we have Angie Harmon and Juliana Moore here.
Doppelgangers.
I take it.
I know, seriously.
So that I'm excited about. And then as far as beyond that, I just keep creating. I'm someone that, you know, I just do. I love it. I love it.
I know you're not afraid of a little eyeliner.
Oh, no. I love my eyeliner.
So
can you see?
Yes.
Is it melting?
So I'm so sorry, Chaz.
What?
We're going to have to, like, cool you off after. What's your brand that you like? Because you don't make eyeliner yet.
No, I don't. And I really should. I use, and nothing against, but I used Mally's Gunmetal for years.
Oh, Mally, yeah.
But then Laura Geller came out with her Kajal, and I do that one now. It's
your
just,
QVC friends. I see.
Yeah, I really do.
Yeah,
I support my
family.
QVC friends. I do. And they try and give it to me. Like, no, I just need to get it. Just tell me where. And because I buy like 6, 8, 12 at a time, whatever. But yeah, I don't, once you go on TV, that's how it happens. And you already know that. Once you're on TV, you're like, you get used to seeing your eyes with pop a little bit more.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden when you don't, and again,
you,
it was
the
infomercial.
Kajal.
It was that. Yeah. So I do. I just line them and I like a smoky eye.
You look good.
If I wasn't doing this, I probably would have been a rock star. That's why I feel like it's got to have that edge to it.
You got edge. We like it. You're like a real Dave Navarro here. I love it.
Thank you. He works out at my gym. It all is connected. Go.
He's got a lot of connections. We appreciate you and your honesty and your story and like all the love you're putting out into the world. Thank you so much.
Can they follow me? Can I tell them?
Yes. All the information. Hit it.
Chaz Dean. Because I go live on Periscope. Do you know what that is? Periscope?
Oh, yeah.
That was the original live one. Then Facebook did.
Does
then Instagram
still
did.
Use Periscope?
Okay, I do
go
because
live
I'll
on
live
Instagram
a lot of,
story.
No, I do that too, but not as many there. I mean, I get thousands on Periscope.
People are
so
still
I do
using
both.
Periscope?
Yeah.
Huh.
I have like over 68 million hearts on there.
My
so
gosh.
I was one of the original. When it first started, I did it. But I do Periscope, and here's why. Because at the salon, you can watch the consultation. You can watch the cut. You can watch what I do, and you learn from it. They can ask questions. Instagram, you can. Facebook, I can't have music on the background, so I can't do that at the salon. So that's why I do Periscope, because I can have the music on, I can have my vibe going, and they learn. But it's Chaz Dean on Periscope, Instagram, and Twitter. And for Facebook, it's Chaz Dean fan page. And then the other one is When by Chaz Dean, just all of them across the board.
And we're fatmascara.com. And now we're all family.
Fatmascara.com.
Yeah, we'll give you all the links.
Thank you.
It'll be like a whole social love party.
I'm looking at Angie and Julian.
You were awesome. Thank you so much, Chaz.
Thank you. We're going to get you into the cool air, okay? Open the window. Bye-bye.
Hey, everyone. It's Jen, and I have decided this is going to be the summer of uniform dressing. I'm going to have a few pieces on heavy rotation, and I'm telling you right now, they're all going to be linen, and they're all going to be from Quince. I don't know why I'm going so hard on linen right now, but it just feels right. And Quince specializes in timeless pieces made of premium fabric. And the best part is that all the Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. I am personally very into the 100% European linen pants. They're cropped and easy. There's even a cute pinstriped version. And when I wear them, I look like I just stepped off a yacht. Do I have a yacht? No. Do I know what yachters wear? No, but that's the vibe. The linen pants come in sizes extra small to 3X, and they're less than $40. Okay, like 10 cents less. They're $39.90. But the quality is excellent, and they wash really well. How does Quince do it? They cut out the cost of the middleman and pass the savings on to us. Plus, Quince works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/fatmascara for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com, Q-U-I-N-C-E, quince.com/fatmascara to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/fatmascara.
Thank you.
Summer is fast approaching, which means it's shapewear season. Just kidding. It's really wedding season. But I just got an invitation to a wedding in Philadelphia, and guess what I'll be wearing? Honey Love. I'm not sure about the rest of the outfit or the dress, but the shapewear is going to be Honey Love. Here's why. Honeylove has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating when you're wearing shapewear. Plus, they have lingerie-inspired design details that you'll want to show off, and all their fabrics are breathable to keep you nice and cool, which is perfect for hot days. Let me tell you a story. I remember being at a wedding, this was a few years ago, pre-Honeylove, and I wore a jumpsuit, and I wasn't sure if the bathroom door locked well, but I had to take off the entire jumpsuit and then roll down the shapewear to pee, and I was like holding onto the back of the door at the same time, completely naked in the bathroom, and it took so long, and I caused this whole backup of the bathroom line, and after that, I was like, never again. Until Honeylove came along. Honeylove's superpower shorts have a 100% cotton gusset so you don't have to wear underwear underneath. And there's a convenient opening in the underwear area so you don't have to take off the whole thing to go to the bathroom. It's so easy. Honeylove products make you look good and feel good. Whether it's for a wedding, event, an everyday boost of confidence, Honeylove is the perfect plus one. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/mascara. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. That's honeylove.com/mascara. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. honeylove.com/mascara for 20% off. The summer vibes are just getting started, so shape your life with Honeylove.
Okay, everyone, I am one of those people who, when it comes to wellness, sorry, but it's got to fit into the pockets of my day. 5 minutes here, 7 minutes there, when I'm like in the kitchen and I'm microwaving something long, it's got to be convenient. And that is why Alo Moves works for me. My mindset has changed. The app makes it easy for me to keep my wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place and bite-sized little bits. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, self-care tips, healthy recipes, so much more. From beginner to advanced, Alo Moves has the flow or class that's going to fit into your schedule. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour depending on what you're feeling that day.
You know what feeling I'm feeling most days? I'm feeling 10 minutes. I've been doing Joanna Thompson's. Right, that's about it.
Yeah, that's good.
10 minutes. Joanna Thompson does these yoga lattes in 10. One day will be abs. One day will be arms. Today, Jess, is booty day. And we're just going to get it done all in 10 minutes. If you're trying to get a good sweat, then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like the sweat-inducing yoga flows or the reformer Pilates workouts without weights. You can also find stress relief with meditations, affirmations, face yoga, gua sha, learn to do dry brushing. How many times have we talked about dry brushing on this podcast? Alo Moves will teach you how to do it.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Alo Moves. Go to alomoves.com now and use the code MASCARA20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's alomoves.com, code MASCARA20. alomoves.com, code MASCARA20.
It's time to raise a wand, guys.
Let's raise a wand. First to Chaz for being so open about his company and his issues that he's had.
I second that, totally.
What a love. Okay, now raise a wand.
Okay. So you know that I'm all about a pinky peach lipstick.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Charlotte Tilbury one's your go-to.
I love my Penelope Pink. I love my Bitch Perfect.
Yes.
But there is, I've got like a one or two that like other ones in the rotation.
Is there a new guy in town?
This has been, it's not new to me because I needed to wear it for like 3 months before I was like, you're good. It's like a friend. It's like,
you guys know she's not going to just come at like 2 days in.
No, I have probably like 40 lipsticks at home, but I really only wear like three most of the time.
And if you try a new one, you have to wear it for a while before you're ready to raise a wand
to
it. Oh my God, this is exciting.
Or even to like let it sit in my like makeup bag.
I'm so excited. What is it?
It's a Tom Ford.
Okay.
Okay, sorry. Ching ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. Lip contour duo. So it's like a long skinny one.
Asterix goes to Hamptons once.
that's good. Oh, touche. Is that the right thing to say?
Yes, yeah, touche. Yes,
no. I love saying touche, but sometimes I'm not sure if I've used it right.
Okay.
So it's like, check me. You know? So Tom Ford lip contour duo in Fling It On.
Okay,
so you could tell I've used it quite a bit. Look how much I have to twist it up. It's super creamy, like all Tom Ford lipsticks.
But a nice slim bullet.
Slim bullet. And because a lot of like the super luxury lipsticks are so creamy, and I'm a hard lipstick pusher, sometimes I like crack them.
Yeah.
I can't crack this because the whole thing is encased. It's like a slim tube. Do you know what I mean? Like versus
the bullet doesn't come up high enough for you to do damage.
Exactly.
And that's a good thing in my book.
And that's a good thing if you spent, you know, a ton of money on a Tom Ford lipstick.
What's on the other end of that duo?
The other end is a liner. I always want to be a liner person. I know you love liner, but I forget to like bring the liner to work, or I never reapply because I'm lazy or I forgot. This, I'm constantly reminded, it's a nice little liner and it's like really thin. I'm turning it on now. And it's the perfect match. So they do a bunch of these shades. I have another one.
What's the name of this shade?
This is called Fling It On.
Fling It On. And let's be honest, okay, expensive, but two in one.
Two in one. And it's like, see, I'm going to put on right now.
She's doing it with no mirror. And I have, and she, you do push hard with your lipstick.
And my grandmother pushed hard,
like,
and my mom
you
pushed
You apply
hard.
Lipstick like my grandmother did. Like, you like, schmear, schmear.
Yeah, yeah. Bam, bam, bam.
I can't do that.
Was that really too hard, Tiff? Was that really hard?
Yeah, you look like an old lady, like, down in Boca applying your lipstick.
Oh, my God. I bet you my husband's, like, cringing every time I, like, put on my lipstick.
It's kind of cute, though. It's very, like, it's an old-fashioned gesture, as they say, at the beauty counter.
Call me old-fashioned.
It's a beautiful color, though.
Thank you. I love it. So if you are in a splurgy mood, this is definitely one to try. You will not be disappointed. Now, what's yours?
Mine is, so for body lotion, I don't do body lotion. I do body oil. Okay. And I am very rigorous about my testing of body oils because so many of them are like so slippery or it smells too
or
much.
It feels like just like Wesson. Like,
yeah,
all
I'm like
body.
Covered in Crisco.
Yeah.
So my new one is made with Stonecrop. And I thought because you lived in Britain for a while, you might have heard of
Britain.
Britain. It's Eminence, which Organics, okay. Which I love this brand.
I don't
brand.
Know Stonecrop.
I didn't know what a Stonecrop was, but they have a new body oil called Eminence Organic Stonecrop Body Oil. Apparently, it's a kind of like sedum, like a, what do they call it? They're like a rock plant. Oh my God. Succulent. It's a
oh,
succulent.
Okay.
Thank you. Which makes sense now that I'm thinking about it because it's probably really good at holding in moisture. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It is the lovely, remember Neutrogena's dry oil back in the day?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay. I like that one, but if you... It's just, it's not super natural, and I really like a natural fragrance, like mm-hmm. made with like natural essential oils. And it also has like a more of a silicone-y slip to it, mm-hmm. whereas this sinks in more like a hydrator.
Oh, I like that. But, I have to try this.
But the fragrance is not unlike that fragrance. It's like this, it's like a little bit of a musky herbal, but in the lightest way possible.
Nice. Now, so, do you put your oil on after you go to the shower, or do you put it on at nighttime? Your morning shower, right?
It depends, but it's always after the shower. My skin's still a little bit damp, as we know, that helps seal in the moisture. Yeah. Or just when I put on a skirt in the morning if I'm not showering and I'm like, my legs look ashy because I always look ashy. Mm-hmm. Or I'll rub it over my legs and my arms.
Yeah, mine are like splotchy. My legs look like splotchy.
I think also that's the reason I like a body oil instead of a lotion is because I think it does have like a blurring because then it's reflective and it kind of tricks your eye to think that you like... have better skin than you do.
Yeah.
And
nice.
Probably this makes my skin better in the process. Oh, yes, it does. It has rose extract to soothe and antioxidants to promote a more youthful appearance. Whatever. I just like the smell and it feels really good.
All right. I feel inspired to go home and moisturize. Like right now, I feel very dry.
Let's do it. And then we'll sit in front of the air conditioner.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for listening. Fat Mascara is produced by our friends at Atwell Media. You can check out our website, fatmascara.com, for episode recaps, product recommendations, and discount codes.
And if you want to reach us directly, email us at info@fatmascara.com, or you can follow us on social, @fatmascara, shoot us a DM. And we'd love if you went over to iTunes and threw us a rating. How many stars?
Five.
Five, please.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.